Josh, thank you for leading us in the song service this morning, especially for that song. You know, I don't know how you could keep your eyes from moistening somewhat when you sing some of those great and beautiful hymns that remind us of the liberty of our country, America. It was exactly 142 years ago, today, on May the 30th in the year 1868, that General John Logan, who was the national commander at that time of the Grand Army of the Republic, proclaimed Memorial Day. And it was first honored on May the 30th. It was a time to pay tribute to the lives of those in the Confederacy and in the Union who had lost their lives in defense of their cause. The South refused to honor Memorial Day until after World War I, when it really was then changed from a day to honor those in the Civil War, to honor those who had died in all American wars. And since our country was founded in 1775, America has been involved in over 60 acts of war. And during that time, 1,077,554 American soldiers lost their lives, and over 1,572,046 have been wounded. Now, I wanted to get that down to the correct number, because every life is precious. Every life is precious in the defense of this country, and every life is precious in the eyes of Almighty God. American Idol is over. We have a new winner. American Idol, however, is a show about me. It's about a person trying to become a winner. It seems to many people in America today that life is really about me, them, about getting ahead in life and what I want, not what the other person wants. It's about having a good time in life, and I can tell you that this Memorial Day, there will be many people who will be out on the lake and on the golf course. There'll be many people traveling who will never, ever reflect upon the lives of those who were lost in the cause of freedom, but they will be thinking about themselves and their own selfish pursuit. We live in a very narcissistic society. Narcissism comes from the Greek god Narcissus. I'm told that many people fell in love with him because he was known for his beauty. And one day he went down to a pool of water, and he was able to look into that pool of water and see himself for the very first time. And he actually fell in love with himself to the point that he could not eat. He could not pull himself away from that pool of water. And that he ultimately died his death because of total self-absorption. Do you know that there are many people in our world today that are so absorbed by self? People get wrapped up in their own lives, and we fail to realize that we were not placed upon this earth to get. But you and I have been placed upon this earth to give. That is what we are about. Jesus Christ came into the world, the Bible says, to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to serve. He came to minister. And he said, you want to talk about greatness in the world? Let me tell you about greatness. And he said, real greatness is found in service. He said, let him that is greatest among you be your servant. But you know, a lot of people in America today have failed to realize what service is all about and what it really means to be an American. Memorial Day. It's a time for us to reflect upon those who have given their lives in this country and many, many of them. Sometimes we take our freedom for granted. Sometimes we never really stop to think about all the people that have died to preserve this opportunity that you and I have this morning to be able to gather together public in an assembly to worship God. But how grateful we ought to be. You know, for a long time after the Iraqi conflict started and all the problems that were going on, even over in Afghanistan, well, I know that they began every afternoon on the news to list the names of those who died in battle. But today, we rarely even mention. They used to talk about the number of people that died. But you know, today, they rarely even talk about the number of young men and women who give their lives. And rarely do they ever give their names. But their names are important. Their names are important to their parents. Their names are important to their husbands and to their wives and to their children that they leave behind. And I hope they're important to you today because they are important to me. The Bible says in Luke, the 19th chapter and verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save them that were lost. Jesus came to set us free. He came to give us liberty as well. For he said in John, the 8th chapter, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Our real freedom today is in Christ. And it is because of him that America has championed the cause all over the world. Memorial Day is about people. It is not about you. It is not about me. But it is about remembering people. Have you ever thought about all the memorials that God erected in the Old Testament and even in the New? There were times when God even challenged them to set up memorial stones that people would never, ever forget. And I'm thankful for Memorial Day. Because you know what? If there was no Memorial Day, the people of America would never pause to thank God for those who had given the ultimate, that is, their life. And so I hope this Memorial Day will be much more meaningful to you than just another holiday, than just another day off tomorrow, just another day out of school, just another day away from the workplace. But that it'll be a time for you to stop and pause and think about the families who will be saddened because of the loss of loved ones. Let me challenge you to do three things. I would challenge you, first of all, to look back and remember. Remember. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, Paul was very quick to do that. He was very quick to forget the things that ought to be left behind, but he was also very quick to remember the most important things in life. Sometimes we do the very opposite. Sometimes the things that we ought to forget and put behind us are the things that we want to hold on to. And sometimes we want to seethe about those things that have happened in the past. And sometimes we forget the very things that we ought to remember. But when Paul wrote to the church, he said this, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. And God, whom I serve with my whole heart, he said, in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers always. Let me challenge you to do something today. Would you pray for the wives and the husbands and for the parents who are left behind of those young men and those women who have died in the American cause? Would you pray for them that God would lift them up and that God would heal their wounds and that God would mend their broken heart? And get self out of the picture for a little while. It is about looking back and remembering deceased loved ones, armed service members. A wreath will be placed on the tomb of the unknown soldier today. I have been there. I watched the changing of the guard. It was probably one of the most moving scenes that I have ever witnessed in my life. Unknown soldier. How can we not look back and remember? And I think that probably all of these soldiers, men and women, would say to those of us who are Americans, preserve the very thing that I have fought for. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And blessed be the nation whose God is the Lord. I think those soldiers perhaps would say unto us the words of another comrade, say goodbye to me, but not to the thought of me. We should never ever say goodbye to the thought of those who have given so much. And for many of them, there will be no monuments. There'll be no buildings that bear their name. Just a name in the distant annals of history. And they too will be virtually unknown and forgotten. But their cause lives on. I think that perhaps there's another thing that we ought to do, and not only look back and remember, but we ought to look out in love. You know, I love this great country that we call America. I hope you do too. America has a lot of fault, a lot of problems. Why, when you pick up the newspaper, you listen to the daily news on television, you realize that there are many problems in America today, many of them. Economic problems, political problems, spiritual problems, moral problems. But our answer is not to wallow in all the problems that we have in America, but it is to rise and make it better. And to do what we can to preserve the American cause. The American cause is an experiment. And that really is what the framers said about the Constitution of the United States and the government of the United States, that it is one huge experiment and we are still experimenting with it. In the book of Galatians 5 and 13, Paul would say, yes, my brothers, we were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in a sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. And when I think about the freedoms that we have in this country, a lot of people think that the real freedom is the freedom to engage in immorality, the freedom to engage in anything they choose, desire, that is pleasurable, regardless of whether it is right or whether it is wrong. That is not the freedom for which these men died. But it was a love for God and country. And they never grew weary. On Flanders Field in World War I, whether it was at the shores of France, Normandy, whether it was in Vietnam, Desert Storm, there were men and women who gave because they loved. And Paul would challenge us with these words, even as servants of God, in Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we shall reap if we do not give up. And therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially them that are of the household of faith. Especially them that are children of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. How much do you really love America? We sing about it. We sang about it a moment ago, Land That I Love. And we ask God to stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairie to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. But do we really love America? Are we seeking to make her better? Or do we just indulge in the sacrifices that were made by others? But there's a third thing that we should do when I think of Memorial Day. And that is, we not only look back to remember and look out in love, but we look up and we honor. When Paul wrote to a young minister in Ephesus by the name of Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, in that second letter to this young man, Paul would write these words, remembering Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. He says, remember Jesus. And too often he is forgotten. A few years ago, President George Bush came up with the concept, no child left behind. And that was a great thought, wasn't it? No child left behind. But isn't it interesting that the very one that we have left behind is the very one who guides our nation, and that's God. And that's why, historically, it has been true. For 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land and forgive their sin. That's why young men fight for America. That's why young women give their lives. Because they understand the real freedom that we have in America is the freedom that came from Jesus Christ on the cross. The Bible says that we are to give honor to whom honor is due. And today, rightfully so, we pay tribute to the young men and to the young women of America. At a family reunion one time, a man said that he and his wife overheard some young twin sisters talking about their newborn baby brother. One asked the other one, well, how did God breathe life into our baby brother? And one pointed at the navel of the little boy and said, I think that God uses our biblical cord. You know, I thought about that. Doesn't God use our biblical cord? Doesn't he use the Bible to breathe life into us? He does. The Bible says he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life and we became a living soul. And he breathes into us today his word. For the Bible says, in him we live and we move and we have our very being. Acts chapter 17. And we do. We are connected to the biblical cord of Almighty God. And how thankful we ought to be. Sometimes we look at America and we don't have things as good as we'd like for it to be. Sometimes when we remember in the past what people traditionally call the good old days. And I guess in some respect they were, and people look back and they think about all the things that they had, and maybe things are not so good today. And we start praying for restitution. We start praying that God would take us back to those days when people were moral and when they were good and when they were patriotic and when they had a great love and a depth of love for this country that was second to none. Coffin was draped by that symbol of our freedom. But it's just another passing thought to many today. But America is great. And I've told you before that I really believe our best days are yet to come. Sometimes we bemoan all that goes on in our world, and I understand that. But I still believe that God is blessing America, and I think that's why we still stand. I believe that's why we're still here. And we just have to remember that. And we have to pray about it. We just have to pray, God, help us to get through this crisis and help us to realize that with your help, days can be better. I heard a woman say one time, she said, when my son was on this health kick, she said that she decided to push the limits of her family of picky eaters, and maybe many of you are like that, I don't know. But she fixed a soup-like mixture of lentils and barley, and nobody in the family was really eager to try it. I mean, they just couldn't imagine. It sounds so stupefying and horrifying to them. She said, we dreaded dipping into the grayish goop. We looked at each other, hoping someone would have the courage to ask Mom if we could just skip dinner. Fortunately, she said, it was our four-year-old Susie. And it was her turn to say the blessing. And she summed up our sentiments perfectly when she prayed, dear Lord, please take us to a restaurant. America will be better. The future is bright. When you look back historically during the days of the Civil War, when the gray clouds were on the horizon and it looked as if America was going to fall and that her good days were behind her and the future was not bright, someone championed the cause of this great country and said, the future is bright. And it was. When we went through the days of the horrible Great Depression in 1929 and 1930, everybody said, America, her best days are gone. It is over. It will never be as good. But she emerged. And today, people are virtually saying the same thing. We can turn her around with God's help. And that's what God said, didn't he? If my people will humble themselves and seek my face. Do you know what they did in the Civil War? They sought the face of God. You know what they did during the days of the Great Depression? They sought the face of God. And they repented. You know what they did when the Twin Towers came down at the hands of Muslims and terrorists in Washington, D.C.? You know what they were doing? Congressmen, senators, national leaders, standing on the steps of the Capitol singing, God bless America. They sought the face of God. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, this morning, the way for us to turn America around and to really reflect upon those, and we shall never forget the price they paid for our liberty, is to seek the face of God. Someone said, if liberty means anything to me, I will remember what my freedom cost. By those who gave their all to keep me free, whose lives were sacrificed but never lost. I will remind myself of what they did and keep them dearly cherished in my heart. Their honor never from me shall be hid. And I know they'll always, and they always did their part. To save our nation and its people here, to pledge their lives in defense of our ways, to show that freedom always outlives fear, and sacrifice is hallowed all of our days. If liberty means anything to me, I will remember those who have kept me free. And I hope and pray that we will. I hope that we will never, ever forget You know, sometimes, until adversity comes, until tough times emerge, do we really find out the character and the strength that lies within us all. One summer morning, as Ray Blankenship was preparing his breakfast, he gazed out the window and saw a small girl being swept along in a rain-flooded drain ditch beside his Andover, Ohio home. Blankenship knew that farther downstream, the ditch disappeared with a roar underneath a road and then emptied into a main culvert. Ray dashed out the door and raced along the ditch, trying to get ahead of the foundering child. Then he hurled himself into that deep, churning water. The ship surfaced and was able to grab a rock protruding from the bank, and he clung to it desperately. But the tremendous force of the water tried to tear him and the child away. He thought, if I can just hang on until help comes. But he did better than that. And by the time the fire department rescuers arrived, Blankenship had pulled the girl to safety. Both were treated for shock. But on April the 12th, 1989, Ray Blankenship was awarded the Coast Guard's Silver Life-Saving Medal. The award was a fitting, all right, for this selfless person was at even greater risk to himself than most people knew. For Ray Blankenship could not swim. It is amazing what we do and what we can do when we are challenged. I hope this morning that our challenge to remember those who have given so much will not be left upon deafened ears. But I hope you'll remember the sacrifice of those who have given their all. And that you will remember the sacrifice most of all of the one who went to Calvary 2,000 years ago and shed his blood, that we might really be free. For if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. This morning, if you believe that and you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of God, do you know that the very thing Do you know the very thing that our brave soldiers fought for? You're trampling underfoot. And the very cause for which Jesus gave his life, you are counting as an unworthy thing. But if you believe this morning that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you're willing to make a commitment to him this morning, and that's what he's asking for. Not convenience, but commitment. And you want out of commitment to give your life to him. Would you turn from your sin? Would you do what God says in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14? Would you seek his face? Would you repent of your sin? And would you be baptized this morning at the call of God? And if as a child and a child of God and a Christian, and you know that you've wandered away, you've strayed away from God, and just like America does sometimes from our Father, and we have to come back to him. Maybe this morning you need to come back to God. Maybe there's something that's wrong in your life or amiss, and you need to come back to him this morning. Would you do that while we stand and while we sing? The song says, blessed assurance. And in one of the verses of that song, it says that all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. It would be wonderful if that were true. And sometimes even people that sing that are not at peace with God.